This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy, Don Bailey. Still licking our wounds from Saturday. If it wasn't bad enough, then Tuesday came along. But let's start with Saturday. I'm still furious. I think I'm furious with the Jalen Rivers call, and I'm frustrated with Jacoby George.
My assessment on Jalen Rivers is it was maybe the best block he's made since he's been in college football. It was 100% clean. The back judge was 10 or 15 yards behind the play and threw the flag when the back was 14 yards from the line of scrimmage. And I've watched it numerous times, Joe. And, of course, I'm always going to side with the offensive lineman. But in this case, it was the worst call that I've seen in years. And it was an absolute perfect block by Jalen. He just really pancaked the guy. And from the inside copy, from the back, from the back side, there was no arms sticking out, nothing wrapped around, no square dancing. And it was just a horrible, horrible call. And as far as Jacoby George, I'm not so sure that didn't cost the game. There's 25 things on each side of the football you can come back to. But that was as bad a play by him or as anybody. What he did, standing 1 foot from an official, I just don't get it. And we went, the 8 to the 23, and from first down to second down, and a totally different mindset as far as analytics go, and a totally different set of play calls, and it was devastating.
Everybody has been tossing around the decision to kick the field goal, which I said well before that, when the ball got backed up, they would have to consider a field goal. And I think when you replay what happened, you have first down at the 8 or 9 yard line. Jacoby mm-hmm. George gets that penalty. You now have second down at the 23-yard line. If you're second down at the 9-yard line, perhaps you're running Damian Martinez. But the sequence of events are now you're second down. On second down, they're playing pass coverage. Third down, they're playing pass coverage. Your playbook was just completely shrunk.
The penalty yardage and the loss of down completely blew up all your advantages on that part of the field. For Syracuse, you put them in a position being at the 23 that all they had to do was rush three, cover with eight, or rush four, cover with seven. They could play, in reality, prevent defense. They could play whatever they wanted.
The picket fence. They're going to play a picket fence across the goal line.
Absolutely. And you go with, from the 8-yard line, we averaged, not counting the 55-yard play that was pulled off by the horrible call of the official on Jalen, but we're averaging 5 yards a carry. And our short yardage goal line this year has been excellent in the running game. We're at the 8-yard line. We're running the football in. They don't even think about throwing. They're going to run the football in and power their way in. And at the 23, your play calls are so limited, and you are in a position that just it was uncalled for. I mean, it's a whole different playbook, defensively as much as offensively. Here's the other thing. I'm really far more of penalties than you are. I mean, that's just it's just our personality. But I will tell you, that penalty there was beyond anything imaginable. It's one thing, Joe, when you have a penalty and it's in the heat of the battle, okay? That's one thing. It's one thing when you have a penalty and things get a little yippy and yappy and you think you can get away with it. 1 foot in front of an official. And the whole conference knows that he's been called on those type things forever. Every single opponent, the coach goes to the official and says, "Watch the George kid. He's a problem." Every single pregame.
Well, I'm not sure if it's Hyde or Jekyll, which one's the bad guy, but that one emerged at the worst possible time. After the game on Saturday, Cam Ward stood up and talked with Don Bailey Jr. Here's what Cam Ward had to say after the game.
Tough loss today. Tell us your thoughts.
Just didn't get the job done. Key crucial plays on both sides of the ball didn't get the job done. That's why we lost the game. It was always just one play. Both sides of the ball had a bad play at a given moment. You know, that was the reason why we lost the game. Both sides didn't make enough plays.
Coach talked about to this football team that you, right now it hurts. It's supposed to hurt. It's going to hurt. But there was a lot that was accomplished this season on this football team.
A lot was accomplished. Our main goal wasn't accomplished. But, I mean, we're blessed. We won 10 games this year. Not a lot of teams can do that. So, you know, we're blessed to get people out healthy. We got a chance at a bowl game. I mean, we blessed at the end of the day.
When you, Coach, talked about it and you've talked about it too, Miami really caused their own problems today. I mean, that's really what it boils down to. You could say Syracuse, yes, was a good opponent, but Miami had a lot of self-inflicted wounds.
Especially on a couple third downs of offense, it was self-inflicted. I'm pretty sure defense had some miscommunication, but, you know, the end of the day, both sides of the ball didn't play enough to win. We didn't play good enough to win, and that's why we got the result that we got.
Talk about your senior class, guys, that you came in with, some of them and some that have been here, but the importance of that bond with all of you guys.
It's a special bond. Everybody, we're brothers for life. We love each other. This is one of the best group of guys I've been around in college, the best teams I've been around. The relationship that we have off the field is what's going to keep us going. I can't wait to have these guys at the cookout when I'm old and stuff, so... it's a special season. Those guys, they blessed me. They made me a better person. They made me a better leader. So, you know, I get to play quarterback on the best team. So, you know, I'm grateful.
Coach talked about also just falling short of the goal, right? The goal was to go to the ACC championship game and then, of course, to keep going after that. But when you look back, what did you learn about the University of Miami and this football team?
I learned that talent isn't enough. You got to be disciplined. You got to have a chip on your shoulder. Talent will never get the job done.
Well, Cam, I'm going to thank you on behalf of a whole lot of Hurricane fans and former players. Thank you for being here, and thank you for being the type of young man that you are and representing this university and this football team every single day, every single snap, and we're proud that you're a Miami Hurricane.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, buddy. Thank you.
All right, that's Cam Ward, ACC Player of the Year. A lot of fun to watch all season. Probably the most fun we've had watching a player in the last 20 years. Damn shame that most likely will not get a chance to compete in the playoff and the postseason, but he was simply dazzling all year.
Yeah, you know, Joe, the thing that I liked about him was, you know, I'm not going to talk about the field, but the consistency. You know, when you just think about him every single game being accessible, I mean, and maintaining his composure with us, and just took the role from the second that he walked on campus and into that athletic center, that I've been here forever. I am a Hurricane. I respect the traditions, and I'm going to do everything I can to help this football team win. And he approached it the most professional way that you can approach it every single day. And I don't know, between you and I, I don't know if there's anybody that's down there more, but I never heard one peep or saw anything with my own eyes that just was made me scratch my head about him. He was just a pro, and he certainly was has been and is a great asset to this University of Miami, not only as a football player, but as a representative for years to come.
Okay, when we come back, we'll hear from Coach Cristobal. We'll discuss what's coming up with Miami's future, plus recruiting. Larry Bluestein stops by the show to break down the Hurricanes recruiting class. That's all coming up. A quick 1 hour Hurricane Hotline as we lead you in to Florida Panthers hockey. It is the holiday season. Ho, ho, ho. And if you are in the market for a new automobile, may I suggest Williamson Cadillac. Williamson Cadillac, the holiday season, it's their season. And they are more than just a dealership. They are our friends. They are our neighbors. And who you want to spend the holidays with? Your family. And that's what you are considered when you go to Williamson Cadillac. You are family. They have built a loyal client base because they've stayed focused on one thing, the customer experience. Customers are always treated like family. Customers get treated like royalty. So if you want to enjoy world-class customer service during this holiday season, and you know what the holidays can be, crazy, right? Well, if you purchase a new Cadillac from Williamson Cadillac, you are going to have a great experience. It's going to make your holiday season. And new vehicles are arriving every single day. I'm telling you, Santa and the elves are sending those vehicles down the assembly line, boom, boom, boom. The CT4, the CT5, the XT5, the XT6, and the all-new electric Lyric. Santa's sending them to Williamson every single day. So if you want to experience the best in customer service, Williamson Cadillac's preferred atmosphere, and it's easy to find, located on US 1 at 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto. You can check them out online at WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com. Stop by during the holidays. See Ed Williamson. He's like Santa Claus. And, of course, Mrs. Claus, that's Carol Williamson. Get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle and experience a new Cadillac from your luxury dealership, Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, happy to welcome you back. Still to come, Larry Bluestein, Mario Cristobal in 1 second, his comments on recruiting and the Hurricanes situation. Deeply disappointing, DBJ. Hurricanes right now on the outside looking in to the playoffs, and it doesn't look like it's going to change.
No, it doesn't, Joe. They basically, the committee said, is unless you're playing, where you are is where you'll stay. And I don't know if that's true, but that's the message that they're sending to us.
They said Miami lost 2 out of 3. And I went, well, so did Alabama. That was in October. They lost 2 out of 3. Is there a difference between October and November? Does it matter when you lose 2 out of 3? If you had to take, if you took, and by the way, when Ward Manuel talks, I feel dumber. If you took the 5 worst losses in college football this year, the 5 worst losses in college football, 2 of them belong to Alabama, at Vanderbilt, at Vanderbilt, and then at Oklahoma, both as 20-point favorites. I don't know what the other 3 would be. Probably probably Ohio State at home against Michigan. So if you took the worst 5 losses,
Notre Dame. Don't forget Notre Dame's loss.
Oh, Notre Dame against Northern Illinois. That would be right in there also.
Yeah. That would be it. I mean, I can keep you going. I like that, Joe. I like it when you get a little hot like that.
Yeah. Well, I would just say, though,
I don't understand it. Listen, there's a chance, right? They tell us there's not, but there's a chance. Yeah. And at the end of the day, being raised a Miami Hurricane, you know this. You better take all the doubt. Don't ever leave it in anybody else's hands if you're a UM person, because they'll darn sure find a way to take it from you if they can.
All right, here's what Coach Cristobal had to say yesterday.
Still processing, you know, and there's confidence and trust that people will process and give consideration to what is real. Like you mentioned, there is a 28 and a 26 in there, and there's a reason they go all the way to 30 and 35 sometimes, and that was discounted or not really mentioned. Neither was a 4-2 road record against bowl eligible teams as opposed to a 1-3 record. No one brought up the data points of the simplicity of watching film, right? Fourth quarter, you know, Alabama, South Florida, 21-16. Fourth quarter, 5 minutes left in the game, Miami and South Florida, different score, you know, or a crossover game with the SEC, which we know what that result was. So that and so many other things have come up, and hopefully things will continue to be reviewed and considered so that things can be done justly, because it's exponentially harder to win a 10th game during the season than there is, you know, an 8th, a 9th, whatnot. So, and winning, as we keep hearing, winning is important, so hopefully that'll be considered.
How have you balanced today versus, I'm sure you've gotten a lot of questions from the guys on the 2024 team. What do we do now?
There's not many questions. There aren't many questions. You know, we were disappointed with our last game, but we're disappointed because we've raised expectations at the University of Miami, and there's a lot to be proud of in a 10-1 season, but we wanted 11 and beyond. And we're going to get a chance at 11 coming up in some way, shape, or form, and that's what the focus is on, you know, to accomplish something that hasn't been done in, I don't know, 24, 23-plus years. And not knowing, again, what Sunday may lead to. Again, because I'm very, I trust that, and I have confidence that things at the end will be viewed the way that they should be viewed, and who knows how that thing's going to work out.
You said last week that your goals are always top 5, top 10 recruiting classes, and depending on which survey you look at, right now you're between like 12 and 14-ish. Mm-hmm. I know you have your own evaluation, and I'm sure you like the guys that you brought in. But just what got in the way, what made it difficult to get that extra level?
Well, we chose not to sign the 26, 27 range. I think that plays a huge role into it, because that's an accumulation of points as well. It is the top class in the conference right now. And we filled our needs at the high school ranks at the areas we feel we need high school players. And we're also looking at certain parts of our team that need portal players. So that's where the balance is.
And speaking of the portal, I know it hasn't opened yet officially. Just what are some of the, I know you want to upgrade it everywhere you can, but what are some of the target position that you're looking at for board upgrades?
Well, I'd love to fill you in on all that stuff, but strategically, it's something we don't do. We keep airtight and we keep in-house. You know, we certainly don't want to allow our recruiting strategies to be assessed, analyzed, or used against us in any way, shape, or form. So I think it's important that we trust a process that has proven that taking a team from 5 wins to 7 teams to 7 wins to 10 wins in the regular season with a team that's competitive in every outing that we have had, and a future that is bright because we have recruited well at the high school level. You know, we're not a team that was strictly portal driven. We have really, really, really good high school players at every position that are developing and are doing well. And as you study the landscape of recruiting and just roster management, the portal is more active than ever, has been more active than ever. So you prepare to gain, you prepare to lose some, you prepare to move some on, you prepare to bring some in. But all in all, you make sure you're doing right by these young men and their families, and always doing right by the University of Miami and doing everything possible to continue elevating the program.
You've always had the reputation, going back to when you were on staff here, you know, a lifetime ago, that you've always been an accomplished recruiter. People have said that for a long time. At your other stops, they said the same thing, of course. How has it all just changed in the portal era? Like, is it as simple as just identify talent, or is it not that simple anymore?
No, it's not. I mean, there's money and there's access involved, and that changes everything, right? And you have the responsibility of being resourceful, and you know, sometimes it comes down to, I don't know, sometimes teams get outbid, you know, price points go to a certain range where that's become part of the game. I don't complain about that. It is what it is. It's different, it's completely different, but it certainly it creates advantages for those that can supplement, you know, the recruiting efforts with certain resources, and then it hinders those that don't or can't or that won't. Relationships still play a key role in the whole thing, and then there's some, you know, it's pretty wild. It's pretty wild, and it's very different than it was first starting in this thing. And look, there's a lot of things that I don't love about the way things have gone in terms of football and the evolution of all these different things. But I love football more than I dislike all those other things. So we just pour into the things that are important to make sure that, again, we could do right by our guys and keep elevating the program.
All right, that's Mario Cristobal. So a couple things. One, unless something dramatically changes on Sunday, which I doubt it will, I think Miami will stay in the state for a bowl game. I'm pretty sure the Gator Bowl, they're going to want to take the Florida Gators. So that's probably going to leave Miami and Orlando. The recruiting class looked like there's some more interior help, Don. Inside help both on the defensive line and offensive line.
Yeah, an area that will constantly be focused on by Coach Cristobal, because he just absolutely believes that if you can win the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football, you'll be in a position to win a whole lot of games. And that's proven true. He's done a great job of upgrading both of those sides of the football since he's been here. And as you mentioned, the signing class has really shown up again that the line of scrimmage is very, very important to them. And I happen to be a big believer in that myself. And, you know, ask Cam Ward, one of the reasons that he came to the University of Miami was because of that offensive line. And it was the offensive line that protected him, but also allowed for a running game, which made things successful for him as well.
I think, you know, you build with an offensive line like that, that becomes very attractive to quarterbacks. They have a quarterback in this class. I don't know if they go in the portal for another quarterback or not. I'm not sure what their feelings would be. Emory Williams is still here, and they feel very good about Emory. But if they go into the portal for a quarterback, I imagine one of the first things you sell is, hey, we've got a wall in front of you.
Well, if you just have them sit down and watch tape, and, you know, it's going to be a quick find that you're dealing with an offensive line that's coming back that's going to be very, very productive and committed to the running game and committed to quarterback protection. And, you know, I think it's really, if you're going to win the championships and continue to try and build on 10-win seasons, you have to have it. And as long as Coach Mirabal is here, and I know as long as Coach Cristobal is here, that offensive line will definitely be a big focus, as it should be.
Okay, when we come back, Larry Bluestein will join us. Also want to jump into the importance of the next game for Miami, whatever it might be with whoever it might be. But there is one thing that stands out to me about the next game. We'll talk about recruiting and that with Old Blue when we come back on the Hotline right after this.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM, driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, unless Ward Manuel comes to his senses, which it doesn't seem possible. Miami has one game left, and it will be a bowl game. So who plays in that? I don't know. But 11 wins, that's the prize for Miami. An 11-win season, they got the 10. I've always said, Don, you know my spiel, you get the 10, you're playing for something. This year Miami got the 10. They're playing for the right to go to the playoff or the right to go to the championship game. 10 wasn't good enough. So an 11-win season would be nice on the resume. I think it would be the first 11-win season since 2003 or two. So that would be significant.
Yeah, it really would be, Joe. And, you know, I don't think anyone – I'm still not over this loss, believe me, but I don't think you can ever be ashamed of winning 10 football games ever in college football. The way that things are now with the parity, with the portal, with the numbers that are all involved at every university, and just trying to, you know, the days of building, you know, class after class and players staying for 4 years and 5 years is not the way it is anymore. So every year you've almost got to recreate magic. And I think that for Miami, you know, if 10 wins is the line of satisfaction, then I would sign off on that, because it's always going to put you very close.
Here's what I would say in terms of the loss the other day. Probably in our lifetime, the games that you and I have done together the last 25 years, I would say, as we bring on Blue, that loss the other day was probably in the top five of tough losses, of tough days at the office. That would be in the top five. In the last 20 years, it'd be number two behind Ohio State. For me, in the top five, I was thinking Penn State in 86, Notre Dame in 88, Ohio State in 2002, and Syracuse in 24. 2003 is the last time Miami won 11. Blue, thanks for joining us. I know you're at a playoff game. Do what you do best. Tell us about the Miami recruiting class. How did they do?
Yeah, good evening, guys. They did really well. You know, I mean, obviously they lost the kid Stubbs from Mandarin, which was kind of a tough loss. But I'm of the belief that, you know what, you want kids who want to be there. You know what I mean? And that, at the end of the day, they got a bunch of kids who want to be there. You know, looking down the list, you know, of the kids who signed yesterday. Big-time kids, you know, big-time potential. Because you got to remember, the last 2 years, Miami had a top elite recruiting class as well, and that's going to give them an opportunity to plug and play a lot of these kids. And yeah, they're going to hit the portal like they did this last year, but they're not going to have to hit it as hard, because you have a lot of young kids obviously that are ready to, you know to get in there and make a mark. And you know, I mean, like I said, you know, I mean, last year they went out and got all these defensive linemen, a couple of secondary players, and obviously on offense, it was a huge shot in the arm to have a Cam Ward and you know, kids like that. But on the other hand, you know, I think Mario wants to go back to the basics and do what he's done forever, and that's beat everybody in recruiting. And, you know, certainly, like I said, I'm not going to look at one player and define the class by one guy that they lost, because they got a ton of kids that are going to really help over the next couple of years, especially with this kid, Malachi Toney, who I think is a plug-and-play kid. I really do. I think he comes in there and he makes an impact right away. He's that type of player.
Blue, who's the sleeper of the class? Who would you say is the guy that, Miami, Miami might have stole one here.
Yeah, there's a couple. I look at some of the right off the bat, Don. I think Ezekiel Marcelin from Miami Central. This kid's a tackling machine, you know, out of the same school as Bain and obviously Wesley Bethune. But this kid's different. You know, he's wound a little bit different. He reminds me of Sean Spence. He's a 6'1"-ish, maybe a little bit over 200 like Sean was when he came in. But he's really athletic. He almost looks like a safety, but he's a tackling machine. In their biggest game this year against Northwestern, he had 4 sacks. He's the type of guy, especially Miami needs that depth at that position. And I certainly, I think he's going to be one of those guys that comes in and kind of shakes it up a little bit. Because like I said, a position of need. And obviously, their tight end room is going to get a whole lot better. Last year they added Riley Williams, or 2 years ago, and then obviously, Elijah Lofton. Well, they've got 2 more kids coming in. The kid from Indiana is a freak. And they've addressed, here's the thing. They addressed everywhere. They addressed the offensive line. They went out and got Luke Nickel at quarterback, who I think is way undersold. I mean, I'm not a star guy, and I never have been. It's a performance type of deal with me. I mean, if you could play, you could play. I don't care what star you're deemed at. I always use the Zach Thomas references, no stars and a 4.75 40, and it worked out pretty good for him. But you look at guys like Luke Nickel, who's coming in. They're the number 2 team in the country, Milton, out of Georgia. And that's a position at quarterback where Miami's got dudes. I mean, let's not forget about, what they have on campus now, a couple of pretty good kids. I think we got spoiled with Cam, obviously, but I think Luke Nickel and, some of the other kids that are there now have an opportunity to be really, really special. So if you're looking for a guy who I think that may be the sleeper, Don, I think it's going to be Ezekiel Marcelin. He's not getting the publicity that he deserves, but he's a player. And also, if a guy is going to come in and play right away, it'll be Malachi Toney, from Heritage. He's a difference maker. And I think what he does is he gives you that true kickoff returner. I know they've experimented with Chris Johnson to the point where it makes me crazy because he's fast, but he has no clue where he's going on. He just runs 30 yards real fast. He doesn't go through a wedge, but Malachi Toney does, and he knows exactly how to get there. And, you got some kids who are going to plug and play right away, and that's what Miami needed.
I did see Luke Nickel play last summer over at Western High School, and I saw him this summer at St. Thomas, and I thought I really liked the way he threw the football. He got good size, and I really liked his leadership and the command that he brought to that position. Now, how if that transfers to the college level, I don't know, but the 2 games I saw him play, I thought he's pretty impressive.
Yeah, well, Joe, you're 100% right. I mean, and this is a kid that he's got a quick release. He's got a really good arm. And here's somebody, let's keep in mind, he's been committed to Miami for over a year and a half. And that's huge because look at where he plays. He plays in the SEC territory where Georgia, Alabama, everybody, Ole Miss, have been bugging him for the last 6-7 months and recruiting him hard. But he believes in what Miami has, and he loves it here. And he's a dude. He really is. And a great kid, and he played 7-on-7 over the summer against some of the elite people. And, everywhere he goes, everybody talks very highly of him. He's got his team's got a 16-game winning streak, the number 2 team in the nation. And this tomorrow night, they've got a huge game against Lee County, who's also won 16 straight and a defending state champion as well. And you want guys at that level. It's nice to have kids who are coming from 5-and-5 teams. But when you have a program like, a defending state champion like Milton, and they weren't even expected last year to do anything. They lost to Western. at the beginning of the year and then put together some crazy streak with him, averaging 300 yards a game. And, you know, they won 15 out of the last 16 games. They beat four undefeated teams along the way.
Blue, the guy that interests me is, and I really didn't catch the name early in the process, but Gerard Pringle, the running back out of Armwood. And what got me with him
I'm laughing because I'm looking right at him, Don. You must have read my mind.
Well, that's how we work. But this is a guy that had a 300-plus yard game, you know, as a junior in the season opener and just has been a force. And really, I think kind of might be one of the steals.
Yeah, well, he's a steal in the sense that they held on to him because everybody got a chance to see Gerard Pringle from the get-go this year. They played Miami New Orleans in the kickoff classic at Traz Powell Stadium. And Don, he went off. I mean, did everything, you know, line from scrimmage running, which is always essential at that level, but also getting out of the backfield and catching balls. He reminds me in that sense of a Lamar Miller, you know, that he gets out of the backfield, he's got good hands, wheel route, you know, almost like a Duke Johnson type of player where they're capable of catching 40, 50 balls just out of the backfield. But from a line, from scrimmage runner, you know, like they say, he's not light in the butt. You know, I mean, he's not going to go down on the first hit. He's a really good running back. And, you know, I mean, Miami doesn't get a lot of kids from the Tampa area and Armwood. But they got two of them this go around. And, you know, certainly, he's really, really good, Don. I have a feeling that he's going to, you know, he'll fit in very well. And, you know, I kind of kidded Mario during the process. Because we had Gerard on our radio show, and he told me the reason that really put him over the top with Miami is he said when he went to other places to visit, and like if he went out, you know, at night to get something to eat or ice cream, you know, it would usually be by himself with another recruit. But he said that Mario Cristobal went with him to get ice cream. And he said to himself on the way back, he said he called his mom and said, "Mom, I'm going here. I mean, this is the head coach of a major school, and he's coming out at 11:35 at night with me to get ice cream? That's crazy." So you never know what the little intricacies of recruiting do for you.
Yeah. They got two from Chaminade. Ewald, a defensive back. Is Donta Simpson Jr., is he going to be a dude at defensive tackle?
Yeah, 6'5", 300 pounds. Didn't play the last, like, five, six games. He had an injury. But I'm telling you, there's a guy that gets in the weight room, keeps in the weight room. You can't teach, as Don, you know, you can't teach 6'5". And, no. You know, I mean, and this kid is potentially as strong as you're going to get. You know, I covered his dad back in the day when his dad played at South Broward. His dad was a lot smaller, but very agile and very athletic. And Dante's pretty good. He's a pretty good kid. The Chris Ewald kid, you know, I mean, I think he's really – if anybody has gotten bigger, because as a sophomore, he committed to Michigan. And I thought at the time, wow, he's kind of small for, you know, a Michigan team. Because remember, at the time, Michigan was like top four or five in the nation. And I said to myself, wow, he's kind of small. Then I watched him at the beginning of this year, and I said, holy mackerel, he got big. And I like him. I like him because he's a student of the game. He's really good in the classroom. He's a smart kid. And he's coming from a program like Chaminade that has an opportunity, you know, that always is going to be in the mix. And then tomorrow night, I'm going to check them out against Jacksonville Trinity Christian. They have a chance to do something that no team in the history of high school football in the state of Florida is get the 9 straight state championship games.
Blue, I'm going to give you an overall question. The offensive line, give me your assessment of that unit as a group, but I really need you to single out only one of them, and that was the center out of Vegas. I mean, I've saw him on tape. I don't know that there's been as vicious a player at that position since Casey Jones.
Yeah. Well, good analysis, Don, because he's a freak. He's a big-time kid. You know, and the thing is, he's interchangeable to guard, too. You know, I mean, and that's a good thing, because I'm going to jump the gun a little bit for 2026 and say that the best lineman in the country right now is Ty Wise's son. Not even close. 6'5", 300-pound kid from up in the Panhandle. And I think, you know, if he comes to Miami, that means you'll get him and you'll have SJ, the young man that you were talking about. And you'll have, I mean, the line future is going to be great because of the fact that you have a head coach who played the position. You have a guy like Alex Marable who's coached some really, really good football talent over the years. And I think the offensive line is where it should be. And that's how you build a fortress, you know. And then you look back 2-3 years, that was the weakness of this team. They were getting pushed back 3 and 4 yards into the running back. You'll see it didn't happen this year. You know, you get a guy like Mauanoa comes in and, you know, starts playing as a freshman. You had somebody like Rivers who stayed all 4 years and then kind of like led the way. He was like another coach, and he, you know, definitely. I think that's a position that Miami really helped. Obviously, Buchanan from Sanford Seminole, another interchangeable safety center guard type of guy. They got the big kid, Jaden Wilkerson, out of Orlando Edgewater, who's like 6'6". And the Campbell from Orlando Christian Prep. So Miami did real well with that offensive line. And I think if anything, you know, because you played it, and that's where it all begins. That's where it all begins. And if you know, I remember when, if you remember when Miami and USC were on probation at the same time, Miami went after a 5-star running back in Duke Johnson, where USC went after 2 5-star linemen. And knowing that that's going to pave the way for a 2 or 3 game star running back, that if you have a big line to open holes, you and I could get through it. So, yeah, they've done real well. And you know, credit to Mirabal, credit to Mario for doing that. And the same thing with the defensive ends, you know. I mean, you know, even though most of these kids don't know Jason Taylor, but the parents do. And all they have to do is he comes into a living room and he closes the deal real quick. He did that with the kid who flipped from USC to Miami out on the West Coast. It makes a difference. It really does. And these kids want to play for football talent that our football coaches who've been there, done that, are going to elevate their game. And that's the whole thing. And I think that's the one question that Mario Cristobal came here and asked. He goes, from afar, you know, Miami got some good kids. What happened? And I said, well, you know what? No disrespect to any of the coaches who were here, but they never got coached up. You know, they came here and pretty much maintained what they were when they got here. They didn't elevate, and that hasn't happened with this regime.
All right, Blue, always great information. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the high school game that you're watching tonight, and we'll talk to you here in the near future.
All right, guys, thanks so much.
Thank you, Blue.
Okay, Don. Sure.
All right, that's Larry Bluestein. All right, Don, I'll talk to you on Sunday when the college football committee tells us where we're going, those bunch of idiots. But we'll figure it out on Sunday.
I'm sure you'll be the first call I take, Joe.
All right, thanks very much.
Have a good rest of the week, buddy.
All right, that's Don Bailey Jr., Larry Bluestein.